Hi, we're the Conventional Podcast.
You think going to conventions is easy.
However,
it's anything but. Oh, all right. After, what, 2 years of heartache and trying to actually get back on schedule, I feel like we're finally back on track.
Yep, we're getting back on schedule with our second review of this year.
Yes. Usually by this point, we would be at our seventh. But you know what? Takes a little bit. We're getting back into it. Growing pains all around. Before we get into all that fun stuff, what have you been up to?
I had my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for the gifts.
You're welcome. We don't need to talk about how legal or illegal half the crap I got you was.
We won't worry about that whatsoever.
Exactly.
That's never really a concern between us.
Exactly. But on my side, I got the chance to actually go on vacation for the first time in, I don't know how long. I didn't even know I could actually have a vacation, but you know what? Turns out I can.
It's been a bit.
Yeah, I spent the majority of the month in Florida. I won't say which part of Florida because I was in multiple parts of Florida. And I got to meet Florida Man, and a lot of darkness was, oh man, Florida's a weird place.
Yep.
If you live in Florida, I don't know how to say it elsewhere. I'm sorry. I saw a man on a rascal and nothing but pink Victoria's Secret thong. That was my introduction to Florida.
That's one way to be introduced to Florida, yeah.
I don't know how the fuck to feel about that. But it was a fun trip nonetheless.
Other than that, more dental. Take care of your teeth, kids. That's going to be my short, fun message to you. Root canals are not fun.
Oh, no, they are not. But before we bore everybody's ears off with our madness, let's actually jump into the episode because this one is fun. I actually am really excited to jump into this one.
So this is kind of a return to form for us because Anime Magic was the first convention that ever invited us or requested us to do a review of their convention. So we are coming back to their third year because they had a year off due to COVID and then
the legendary year.
Yeah, last year they moved to a slightly bigger hotel and they had issues there. And now they decided to move to the Hyatt where ASEN and Anime Midwest are because it's the safer bet due to all the issues they had at the new location last year.
I have opinions on this entire situation because I want to start off right here and right now and point out the fact that they grew up in a damn hurry. Like, I remember the little con that could, and this con had insane amount of potential. It still has a lot of potential. We'll get to that. But holy crap, moving from the original hotel that they were at to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center and the Hyatt Hotel next door was a jump. A big jump.
Maybe too big a jump.
A little bit too big of a jump.
We'll get into that later too.
The other thing that actually worked against this convention, aside from having all the space under the sun, was that there were other conventions happening around them at the same time.
And if they even weren't around the convention, they were happening the same weekend in a state over, which also hurt the con, because still people I knew from Illinois were going to cons in Indiana and Wisconsin.
Or downtown Chicago. Well, especially downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's not even getting compared to the horror convention and the beard convention in the same exact town.
Or in the exact same hotel.
Yeah.
Which was kind of dope because Freddy Krueger was there and that was really cool. But
we digress.
Yeah. It works against the convention, especially when you have all these other conventions that are taking up your space. Which means that the convention is going to be scattered by leaps and bounds. So parts of the convention that should be tucked next to each other were chucked all the way to the other side of the convention center. Versus where if everything was just in the hotel or just in the convention center, I firmly believe that our score would be different.
I'd be a lot more smoother for sure, but I believe scheduling conflicts happened. And with C2E2 jumping around, because they did summer this year, but next year they're going back to winter. So all these schedules are currently changing for all the conventions due to COVID. There's going to be a lot of feeling out over the next couple of years until things can get back to being routine.
Oh, yes. Which is why I believe that the theme for this entire episode is growing pains.
Now, don't waste another minute on your crying, Jax. We're nowhere near the end of this review for Anime Magic.
Did you just fucking quote the Growing Pains theme song in my face?
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
You act like we haven't done this before.
Fair enough. That song is a banger. But anyway. So, before we fucking show our age, let's jump into this review. So, getting to this con was an adventure in and of itself.
Well, for Jax, for me, it was just a typical Friday after work.
Yeah, for you, it was easy. You got out of work, you got to do whatever you wanted. Me, I locked myself out of my own damn car, had to wait on someone to actually get me into my car. In the meantime, I was trying to break into my own car, got the cops called on me, had them come over, laugh at me, and then proceeded to help me by showing me a decent number to call to actually get a locksmith. And then I had to get dropped off in someone else's car. It was not a fun time.
And he had all of his bags and luggage on him because he was flying out on Sunday morning.
And I didn't want to leave my keys in my car for what felt like the better half of a month. I was not a smart person that day, nor was luck on my side at all. But I got to still come to the convention. I was able to touch down. Everything was fine afterwards. I was a little tired. I was a little grumpy, but
we got through it.
Yeah.
So after I parked, I reached out to Jax to see where he was at, and then that's when he let me know he was going to be late. So I decided to walk on over to the convention after parking, and I went to registration. I was like, hey, I'm here to pick up my press pass. And I was like, well, you need to go to the Hyatt. And then this started the adventure of how to get our press badge. And this adventure does not end until about 1 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. We got to see a lot of the con, though.
Yeah, we went back and forth between the Hyatt and the Donald E. Stevenson multiple times on Friday trying to get our badge. But other than that, we tried to go into the dealer's hall area because they had a staff services room there. And they didn't have the badges there. And they were like, we'll just come back tomorrow on Saturday. So we were able to explore some of the game hall and the area over there before leaving on Friday. But we couldn't experience the whole con in full until Saturday when we actually were able to pick up our badges early on in the afternoon.
However, I thought ahead on this part and actually had us with our lovely intern for this convention, who was able to actually be our eyes and ears while we were trying to figure out how in the flying fuck we were going to get our press passes.
Thank you, Hime, for covering the convention on Friday when we cannot.
Yeah, that was a lifesaver. Because of this, we actually got to see a lot more perspectives on how everything was going on for the convention. And we had a lot more eyes on the ground than we usually do, which makes life so much easier.
Because we get more perspectives that way. And we were also able to talk to more attendees that way because we weren't focused on going to events. So we could get more feedback from the attendees in addition to just going to the events and the programming that they had available.
Oh, yeah. That being said, a little quick segue. If you go to a convention and you wish to actually review it and talk to us about it, please give us an email about your experiences at any convention at theconventionalpodcast@gmail.com. But jumping back into the review, we did not get our press passes until 1 p.m. on Saturday. But we did still fill time, which was important. And we got to see a lot of the convention. A lot of the convention we could not see, but not because of the badge issue, ironically. We'll get to that in organization.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple organizational things that are going to be popping up in this review.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Let's jump to the top of the docket while we have a chance.
Sure. So let's start with panels.
All right. Oh, this is your favorite one.
Well, I don't know if it's my favorite, but you can say we were very fortunate to attend some panels.
Oh, don't do that. Don't you pun Wheel of Fortune in my house.
Well, the reason I went with that pun is a Wheel of Fortune panel where Jax actually got to participate as one of the contestants.
Which was funny as hell, because I run Anime Jeopardy. So it was just kind of ironic. And I still lost Anime Wheel of Fortune, like a complete chode.
You got second, though, I think.
I got second, yeah, which did. Was nice. But I could have gotten first if I didn't say the words Ride the Dragon when there was no reason to say Ride the Dragon. Anyway, it was a horrible flub, and I now understand game show attendance.
But the host of the panel had a very cool custom Wheel of Fortune board made that was used to play the game.
Oh, yeah. I was eyeballing that thing the entire time. It was really cool. And shout out to the person that does Wheel of Fortune. They are good. I really love their work. You got to see that. We did get to see a couple of other panels. We didn't get to stay in a lot of panels, but we did get to see a lot of panels.
Yes.
But I will say that I enjoyed the panels that we went to.
Yeah, that's true. The panels that we did go to were good. However, there were also a couple of issues with the panels. So there were either issues of panels not happening at all because the panelists didn't show up. They either started late or the room did not have the proper equipment for them to run the panel, like they were missing microphones, for example.
We'll bring that up too as well, because even in the Wheel of Fortune panel, they didn't even have microphones until, 10 minutes?
10, 15 minutes in, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, it was a little disorganized when it came to panels this year, and in some cases, it really wasn't the convention's fault. However, I will give credit where credit is due. The convention noted that people were not showing up for panels, they weren't actually doing the due diligence that were given, and they actually jumped back in. Staffers were leading panels where there were gaps, and I respect that.
They also made the decision to split the panels between the Hyatt and the Dowdy Stevenson, which also made finding certain panels challenging depending on how well you reversed to the layout from previous conventions that you've had there compared to this one.
Yeah, that made things complicated, and currently, considering the fact I'm on a cane, it made things even harder.
Now, most panelists who I did talk to who were leading a panel were very passionate and very knowledgeable about the subjects that they were talking about at the convention. So even though if they didn't have the widest variety or they weren't all on time, the people who were setting and performing their panels actually did know their topic matters pretty well.
Oh yeah, no, a lot of the panelists that we did get to see were insanely professional. Like, holy crap, were they professional. I was jealous.
But due to there being the average airs and there weren't people really checking 18 plus panels and the lines were basically okay for every single one, I gave it a 0.5. It was very middle of the road for me. There wasn't anything really outstanding, but there wasn't anything super terrible that tanks it either.
Oh yeah. You gave it a 0.5. I gave it a 0.6 for about the same reason. It wasn't outstanding, but one of the big things that did impress me was the fact that there was variety when it came to panels. The variety did give it that little bit of an oomph, especially the game show panels.
I just think you love game show panels.
I love game show panels. I'm waiting for someone to crack the code and do Anime Family Feud. I will legitimately collab with every game show panel right now and just do a marathon run. Let's go.
Can we do Anime Con version of The Price is Right?
Oh, no, Pyramid. We have to do Pyramid. I will fucking fight to do Pyramid.
No, we need to do Hollywood Squares. Oh, famous cosplay.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Or voice actors. Either would have worked.
Yo, real talk. Any convention that's listening to this, we will MC that shit right now. I will do this in a heartbeat. Do you realize how much fun I would have doing?
You know what, anime conventions, now that we're here, we'll also MC your masquerade. I'd be down to MC a masquerade.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. However, I'm not sure that our slapstick comedy would actually fit with nowadays.
Well, if Stripper Vash and Volz can make it work, we can make it work.
All right, fair enough. I'll give you that one. All right, before we get 1,000 levels off of topic, let's jump into lines.
So the beautiful thing about lines at this convention is that they were basically non-existent.
I didn't... Even the ones that did exist were so smooth, they flowed like water. It was beautiful to me.
So the only two events that really had lines were the masquerade and the drag show. And both of those lines, even though they wrapped around the room, were handled really well.
Oh, yeah. Holy crap. Like, we weren't even in line that long. Maybe at max, maybe 10 minutes.
And it was not that bad.
It was lovely. And even if you didn't know anybody in the line, LineCon is there to make friends. But even then, it's like...
Or Street Pass.
Or Street Pass. But quick, fast, and a hurry lines are even better than LineCon.
True. Now, for registration, there wasn't really lines to speak of. At least every time we passed by registration, there weren't really long lines, if any.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't... I couldn't find a line longer than 10 minutes that entire con.
Yeah, and, like, there weren't any lines in the game room to play games. There wasn't, like, a line to get into Dealer's Hall. And there wasn't, like, a capacity cap anywhere to be like, oh, you can only have, like, 50 people in this room or something like that.
Honestly, I think this is one of the few times we get to agree in a episode. Lines, I would say 0.4.
Yeah, 0.4. Lines are actually really stellar. And everything was actually labeled pretty cleanly too before we jump off this topic.
Oh, yeah. Now, swinging in, let's hit up the game room. I wouldn't even call it the game room. That was the game dome.
Yeah, we should really speak about the variety in the game room because it was superb. They had axe throwing. They had laser tag.
They had archery.
They had cosplay foam fighting. They had arcade games, and I loved the Fist of the North Star arcade game because I beat it, but it's always fun just punching things.
Yeah, that's why I do it all the time. But also, I got my ass whooped in Strive. I am so sad that I couldn't do the Strives tournament on Sunday. I would have got my ass whooped, and that's perfectly fine because Big Sword Samurai, happy place.
But they also had a big VR setup in the middle of the room, which was really cool. We didn't get to do it, but you could see people doing it, and that was really neat. And then they also had... You bought dice from the people near the console gaming. I don't remember who they were, but they were a charity, and they had that in there as well. So they had a lot of variety, and everything was free except for the axe throwing.
No... That is incorrect. The laser tag.
No, laser tag was free, but if you wanted to do it all day, there was a fee, or there was like a waiting time. There was a way around the fee for laser tag.
Oh, okay. I didn't get a chance to do laser tag.
So. I didn't either, but I just saw people doing it and having fun, but I definitely asked for their fees and rates.
But yeah, no, it was a blasty blast, and it's actually uncommon in anime conventions in particular to see that much physical games in... Well, the game room.
Yeah, and there was a lot of breathing room in the game room, too. It wasn't really stuffy like a lot of game rooms normally are. And it was wide and aired out. And it was good that they had arcade cabinets because there are some where it's just PS4s or Xboxes with insert game here.
That's not a bad thing, either way.
Yeah, but more variety is better.
Yeah. It gave you the feel of... What's a good example? Odyssey Fun World, something like that.
Yeah, something like a fun way maybe where like, hey, you can rollerblade and go-kart and do arcade games and everything. It's more like a family theme park or family fun park maybe.
And honestly, this is one of the few cons I can say was extremely family friendly. There were so many options for even kids. I like that.
Yeah.
So, out of curiosity... What would you give the game room? Because I think we agreed on this too.
Yeah, I gave it a 0.8. The game room was really solid. I liked it a lot.
Oh yeah, I gave it a 0.8 too. It's rare for me to actually say anything over a 0.7, but again, Anime Magic threw it out the water. So
did you say threw it out the water?
I know what I said. Blew it out the... Shut up. You know what?
Sorry.
I can mess up too now. That happens.
We both mess up all the time. This is not a competition.
I can make it a competition of flubs.
Oh boy. Let's not say we did.
That's what editing's for. Do you realize how many Freudian slips we have per episode?
I stopped
counting after 20.
Anyways, let's move on to the masquerade.
So,
unfortunately, the masquerade had a couple issues this year.
Quite a few.
The main one was that due to all the other conventions happening at the same time, the attendance numbers for the masquerade were lower because people were attending other conventions around in the same general vicinity.
And suddenly dropping from competition to go to said other places after signing up and going through the rigmarole of doing so. Now, for our longtime listeners, masquerade for a lot of people is the convention in and of itself.
It's their whole Saturday.
Yeah. So the fact that people drop suddenly guts the competition a new one.
And it's the reason some guests come specifically, like Yaya Han. She specifically comes to judge the cosplay contest for most cases. Now, I would like to argue in advance that conventions change up how masquerades go going further, because if a cosplayer is giving up their whole entire Saturday for a convention, I feel like the con should do more to help out the cosplayer for that day, at least in at least food or badge or something, because that's their whole con day gone down the drain for the most part, in most cases, depending on the con.
You know, honestly, we could do a whole episode just on masquerade in and of itself.
Yeah, we have some friends that we could talk on that a bit more.
Yeah, I feel like we can jump back in on that. But jumping in on this, I will say the fact that the masquerade started late, which was a little bit disconcerting.
The awards did go missing that get mailed to the winners at a later date.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still partially an organizational issue.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is for the Hall Cosplay Contest, one of the judges ran super late, really, really late. Like, they got there at the very last second and started dropping F-bombs in the middle of the ceremony. That is not a good look.
Yeah, that's a little unprofessional.
Yeah, very unprofessional. So that being said, the hosts who were hosting the masquerade did a very good job of hosting it and kept everyone well engaged and entertained. And all the cosplays that entered did look very nice and were very well made. And all the judges who did review each cosplay did give their reasoning for each award and why they won it and had good explanations behind each.
Holy crap, yes. Maybe it's just me, but that needs to happen more. Just the judges being forthright right then and there, like, this is why I like this cosplay. This is the exact reason why you're getting your placement.
Yeah, like, for instance, the Yugi cosplayer, they're like, specifically the wig, and like, this is what they did with the wig, and for these reasons, this is why it got this award.
Yeah.
Just as an example. Because it was an impressive Yugi wig. Holy smokes, I was floored.
Right? Also, I will say this now, two things. Just shout out to the Revolutionary Girl Utena group that went up. Just freaking chill seeing that. That made me so happy.
Yeah, no, it's very nice, very pretty.
Also, shout out to the most supportive boyfriend I've ever seen.
Sipping over his girlfriend just at the masquerade openly about it. He wasn't even shy about it. He's like, I'm simping hardcore. And he's like, I don't care. He had the bouquet of flowers ready. He's like, that's my girlfriend every time she walked across the stage. He was there. He knew what he was doing. That's all we saying.
The MVP of the masquerade was no one on stage. It was simply you, Levy Clean.
Yes, because he got Cherokun out where he needed to be.
Exactly. Whew, that was good.
So with everything being said, we're ending up giving masquerade for 0.3 for each of us because it basically, there was a lot of good, but a decent amount of negative, so it gets the middle score.
Yeah. There's a lot of room to grow with that one, though. So, let's talk about the thing that I feel like the okay.
It's the most puzzling.
This one was so confusing.
Hey, Jack, I have a question for you.
What's up?
You know what would go really great in the middle of a rave?
More Cherokun?
Yes. Tons of chairs in the middle of the floor.
Oh, shit, yeah. So many chairs. Just the mosh pit on top of chairs.
Yes, the best game of musical chairs there is.
Holy shit, yes. Yeah, no, if you can't figure this out, I still don't understand how the fuck this happened.
But apparently the staff who was supposed to move chairs in between events never showed up, and they threw the raves, and there was just chairs in the whole entire middle of the room, and they didn't decide to move them until Saturday evening.
Now, they moved a good chunk of the chairs at 2 in the morning on Saturday morning. However, the issue is anybody that tried to move the chairs out of the way, you know, for safety and hazard reasons, they would get yelled at and the chairs would be returned until the staff actually moved them. It was a fucking weird time.
Yes, very weird. Now, the DJ sets were fine. We had no problem with the DJ sets. Those are, you know, yeah, perfectly fine and dandy. No problems there. But the staffing around the rave and getting the room set up, that was like the contract of the hotel. That's where the issue mainly lies.
Because of all of this, people were complaining about the vibe of the rave. A lot of people were saying that it didn't feel friendly nor inviting.
Yeah.
It was, as we said, this was the most puzzling one on the list.
Yeah, like if it feels like you don't want to be there, it's going to be very off-putting to be in that room to like enjoy an event in there. So like why people felt that way, it's not that surprising.
Yeah, so before we rag further on to this, the score we had to give this is 0.2.
Yeah, 0.2.
Yep.
Now,
jumping into the more confusing thing on the list.
This is probably the most confusing thing on the convention, unfortunately. And the reason why it's confusing is going to astound longtime viewers. And it's tabletop.
Yeah, this is
something we had to do research on.
Yeah.
Which, research for tabletop should be an instant red flag in most cases.
Everybody that listens knows I'm a bloodhound for tabletop rooms.
He loves his card games on motorcycles.
I love my card games on motorcycles. And I will find a way to play my card games on motorcycles. And I went the entire convention trying to find this room.
To play card games on motorcycles.
Especially to play card games on motorcycles.
And he never found this room.
I could not find it. I could not find it on the map. I could not find it anywhere.
But we knew that they had it because people were talking about it.
And our intern specifically talked about it and gave it a fairly decent review. However, after the convention was said and done, I had time to actually just look over the map.
And we had to find it on the map.
And I realized that it was so out of place from everything else that there would be no reason or rhyme for me to even comprehend it to be over there.
Like, it was so far off the beaten path that it is basically never used and is either poor placement or due to all the other bookings at the hotel, it managed to just fall there and that was the only spot that was left. I'm not sure which it is, but it was in such a random corner of the Hyatt Hotel that neither Jax or I expected, that we simply just didn't go there. But we were actually actively looking for everything to do so we could actually give the con a proper review.
So this is one of the first times in our entire recording history that I didn't get a chance to go to the tabletop room. And I was a little sad.
So due to this, we just know that there were standard games in the tabletop room and that people seem to be having a good time based on our intern's review.
Yeah. So we know it existed, and from what we were told,
people were enjoying themselves.
So with that, we got to give it a 0.4.
Yeah. So mainly due to not being able to find it and more organizational issues, unfortunately, but
have you found a theme for this entire review yet? Because
insert Goring Pain's quote here.
Yup. Jumping from that, let's actually get to something that I personally find a little positive. Customer service.
Yeah, so with all the growing pains and organizational issues that are going on that we just previously mentioned, the customer service for the staff at the con was really, 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 really good. It's the biggest plus I can give them. If I had a question, someone would attempt to answer it, and if they couldn't answer after at all or after a couple minutes, they'd be like, let me walkie to someone and try and find someone who can get you that answer. Even when we talked to people checking badges at the game room dealer's hall entrance, they were super helpful in being like, well, I can't get a hold of you, but let me talk to this person so they can get a hold of someone to get a hold of someone for you. So they do have a good game plan set up to like try and help people and find people stuff that they need.
Oh, yeah. Now, that being said, I've been holding my tongue on this one because it's been a giant thing for me, especially with customer service. Every step of the way throughout this entire convention, throughout every single one of our topics tonight, we actually found more and more reasons that customer service was the shining star for this convention. Primarily, let's go back to panels. All the panels that people were dropping, people were coming in late, people were doing whatever, the staff were Johnny on the spot. Oh, someone didn't show up to do their panel. Well, we're going to still run a panel. There was no empty slots that could be made.
Hey, someone forgot microphones. Let me go grab some microphones. It might be 5-10 minutes, but I'll show up eventually with microphones so then we can get you the panel experience you want.
Exactly. One of my personal favorite things is how open the staff was about everything. They did not deny what was going on in front of them. They were very open. They were very honest.
No sugarcoating. They were straightforward.
Right. When things were running behind, hey, we're sorry that this is taking so long. Here's the reason why. We apologize. We'll get going as soon as possible. Hey, this panelist didn't show up. This is what the new panel is going to be. If you would like to sit around and stick around for that, please do. I love that. The concept of the show must go on going through this entire thing. The concept of showmanship going through this entire thing was beautiful to me. And that is why I gave them a 0.8.
I had one negative interaction, which maybe lowered my score by 0.1 due to the one person. But other than that, stellar job. So I gave them a 0.7.
Well, let's actually jump into photo shoots.
Now, photo sets they did have, and they had a good variety, and they were easy to find. People used them. They did not take a while using them. They took an average amount of time. There was no like photo set hogging. However, this being said, I don't know if it is this way with just certain cons and they're moving away from it, or if it's just, hey, it got overlooked. But normally for each convention, there is a gathering for like each show. So there's a gathering for Bleach, there's a gathering for Naruto, there's one for Love Live, there's one for My Hero, you know, etc. But there's a themed gathering of about half an hour to hour each day at a set location, and you can all meet up from that group and cosplay and get photos, which is really nice and very cool. But there was none of that at Anime Magic. We double-checked the schedule and everything just to be sure, just to make sure we didn't miss it. There was literally none of it.
Now, maybe gatherings are going the way of the dodo. I'm not 100% sure, but
they're at least still alive at Anime Expo and ASEN, to say the least, but
oh, yeah. I would say, yeah, they're still going strong at other various conventions. However, again, this is something that would help a lot, especially giving people a timeline where you can just have every single person that is doing something from your specific series.
Because, like, for instance, even though I cosplayed from Genshin Impact at ASEN, and I had fun doing it, even though I couldn't make it to the photo shoot, I could still catch up with cosplayers afterwards and talk with them and, you know, enjoy the game and talk with them about what I liked about the game and the surrounding media.
Exactly. So gatherings have their place even after the photo shoot, one way or another. But
I gave it a 0.5 because mainly they didn't have any photo shoots posted, which is a little concerning. But they did have the sets, and everyone was nice, and they had a good variety. So due to that, I felt it hit the very middle of the pack score. It didn't do anything special, but it didn't do anything super negative either.
I, on the other hand, gave it a 0.6 for one reason and one reason only. The ball pit. The ball pit has made its glorious return, and thus it should earn its own point every single time. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm being biased. Anytime I see a ball pit, it's automatic point up in my direction.
your bias is definitely showing.
I know. But in this case, I kid. But at the same time, I have to give credit where credit is due. Anytime I see a ball pit, I have to laugh. But I also have to nod in approval and understanding where the joke comes from. And anytime I've ever seen one, people get a kick out of it and it becomes its own photo prop.
I mean, that's true, but I do now have a lingering question before we move on.
Okay.
So for every ball pit cosplayer, does that add 0.1?
Ooh. There's going to be a dark time where there's just going to be a ball pit meetup and I'm going to have no idea what to do. That might be a perfect 10 con. I don't know, but that might be the perfect 10 con. Just nothing but ball pits.
Your bias is definitely showing.
My ball pit.
Your ball pit bias, yes. The ball bias is showing. Okay, moving on to the next topic now. So now we get to the biggest hole in this convention score, which is organization.
Ooh. Oh, we had to fight on this one.
Well, I was really going to be harsher, but organization and its lack of it being there clearly shows in almost every category. And if you've listened to our review so far, you can kind of see that that's kind of been the connecting theme, is that there's been a lack of organization. Because even though the customer service is really good, they're trying to get it fixed. If the organization was good to begin with, most of these errors wouldn't have been there.
Yeah. And again, a lot of this stuff kind of rolls back to the head. It's always going to roll back uphill and it's going to show itself. As we stated before, a lot of things I can look the other way on, especially when it came to the fact that, again, there were other conventions running in the exact same space. However, there are some things that just made zero sense. Like, why was tabletop so far off the beaten path that didn't even exist to a lot of people's radar?
And then why did we get told to go to 5 or 6 separate locations to pick up our press passes? Like, you know, 1 or 2, but then it started just spiraling out of control.
There was a lot of miscommunication, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
And this all returns back to what I was saying before, that this con grew up in a big damn hurry.
Yeah, it was trying to move way too fast. I feel part of this is due to some of the issues they had at the hotel last year. And I feel that that other conventions run out of this hotel, that it would be a safe bet. And so because they knew it would be a safe bet, they just moved there right away instead of trying something else new, because they knew, hey, we wouldn't have any issues here like we did at the previous hotel.
Yes. And because of that, now you have all this open space, but you don't have a lot to really do with it. There's so much that's going on with this convention, but at the same time, because of all the space that's given, it feels so empty. Like, going from the game room to the lockers, to the dealer's hall, to the artist alley, there's just this giant void space that just messes with the immersion of the convention itself.
Yeah, they're going for the jack of all trades, master of none approach best to describe it, probably.
And because even then everything's spread out even to the Hyatt, it's even worse, because now you have to essentially make a decision for your day. Do you want to stay at the Donald E. Stevens, or do you want to stay at the Hyatt all day?
Or do you want to spend like 4 hours at one and 4 hours at another?
Yeah. And then you have to make the massive trek all the way to the other place. It's
a 5 to 10 minute trip, depending on what you're wearing.
It's just too much movement in between the two, with little payoff on both sides. So with that being said, our scores are a little low.
Yeah. I did give it a 0.2 because it could be very much more organized. I mean, yes, the lines were organized, but like a lot of the other things that you'll get to in the dealer's hall and the artist alley and some of the other stuff, is they're trying to do so much, but because they're trying to do so much, they didn't organize it in the most efficient way possible, and that started to bite them, and especially in the ways of communication.
Oh, yeah. I gave it a 0.3. The reason being, yes, a lot was being done, but putting everything in the right spots, putting all your pieces of your puzzle in the right slots would make this run so much cleaner. And again, I think it's growing pains. I think the other conventions being in the way and not allowing you to use optimal spaces really hampered this convention this year.
We'll see what next year brings, especially with C2E2 going back to winter.
And as much as I love the horror convention, hopefully not sharing the same space as two completely contrasting conventions at the same time.
We haven't even talked about the beer convention.
We have not talked about the beer convention. We don't need to talk about the beer convention because they barely left their hotel.
But it sounds amazing.
Look, I almost went to the beer convention simply because I wanted to figure out if someone could help me grow Fu Manchu. But
hopefully C2E2 going back next year makes this a better weekend for Anime Magic and any other convention going on around the same time, way better.
Oh, yeah. Now, jumping out of that, let's actually go to the Dealer's Hall / Artist Alley. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Dealer's Hall and Artist Alley is weird because it's behind the game room and the locker and, like, the dance stage setup. And once you enter in the Dealer's Hall / Artist Alley, the Dealer's Hall is on the left, the Artist Alley is on the right, and in the middle is a car show.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cool. It brought back some memories of older conventions that used to have an auto show that would be either outside or within the realm of the Dealer's Hall.
Yeah, the car show going on at the same time as the convention sometimes even.
Yeah, I like that. I miss that.
The cars did look nice. But most of the Dealer's Hall was either guests selling their stuff or it was a lot of commonplace stuff that we had seen. There were a couple unique sellers because there was a shop that had everything that was crap theme that was pretty neat.
I love that. And across the way from them, this is something that just threw me off because I did not expect to see this again in my lifetime. I saw a tattoo artist, and I haven't seen that since E3. A long time ago, E3.
But on the flip side, there was a report of people selling knockoff merchandise, which is a big no-no, especially at this convention.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a big no-no at every convention.
But this con takes it more seriously than others, I'd argue, though.
Oh, yeah, as they should. So there was that. There's also what I've been calling this entire time the dealer's back alley.
Yes, where you do your drug deals, yes.
Yes. You want them sweet, sweet quilavas? I got you covered, man. $5.99. No, the entire back half of the dealer's hall felt just like a back alley. It was
ominous and empty.
Yeah, it was ominous. It was empty. The music that was pumping from the middle of the car show was barely coming into the back. So you really felt like you were in the back of a club and someone was about to shiv you. It was a little bit darker for some weird reason, maybe because there was a giant-ass wall right there. And then it just felt empty.
Yeah, they only had booths on one side, too. They didn't have booths on both sides like the other aisles of the dealer's hall.
I was expecting someone to start tagging the wall. It was weird. But honestly, going forward, if this is the format that's going to be a standard, please put dealers on that side of the wall too. It'll at least flesh it out. It'll at least make it more homely because
a little bit more variety wouldn't hurt either because like it felt like half the booths were guests and the guests were either selling stuff or it was like stuff from like their Etsy store and like prints. So
yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's also the autographs that were like right across the way that was also never used.
Oh yeah, we need to talk about the autograph area. We don't usually give any credence to the autograph areas at conventions because, again, it's just, I'm thankful that the people are coming out in the first place.
Yeah, and you pay money and you get stuff signed, or the person is lucky enough to sign your stuff for free, depending on who it is.
Rewinding back to this, and this goes into organization too. The autograph area was almost every single time I went over there, I very rarely saw that line full. And if I saw anyone over there, it was usually the guests sitting in this giant maze, at the end of this giant maze of lines that practically ended right underneath the stairs. And they just looked, it just looked desolate over there. And it just made me sad.
They also looked very bored. And if there were people in line, it was like 3 people, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they were signing all their stuff in the dealer's hall.
Yeah. So that just made things more complicated. And a lot of the guests were spread out more so than normal. In some cases, it makes sense because, yeah, you pointed out that the voice actor from Genshin Impact, she wanted to be by her car.
That was themed after her, yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of cool. I respect that. But that being said, it did make things awkward when it came to autographs.
Yeah, because she was like the only one who did that. So she was like the only one in the middle of the car social. So it was a little awkward. But due to like it being a little bit awkward and a little bit of some negative stuff, we ended up giving it a 0.4 from each of us.
Yeah. Again, we had to agree on that one.
Now, for the artist alley, we felt that this was a bit stronger. The variety was really good. They had props set up, like there were boxes of Pocky that you could take pictures with. There was a giant real Akuma that you could take pictures with. They had like a snack store. They had Gabuto Burger over there,
and love you could
buy
Gabuto.
Yeah, you could buy some stuff over there. But the big kicker in the artist alley was body pillows.
Yes. Now, Dakimakuras are pretty cool. I like the variety of them. I enjoy them. I don't own one because the only one I want, I would have to get custom made. But
I'm not doing it, no.
No, I'm not asking for that one. That's another one of our guests that wants your booty on a Dakimakura.
No.
That's a whole different issue.
It's not happening.
I'm fairly sure he could do it.
I don't want it. No.
I'm almost positive he'll do it. But I digress. No, no. What I want has nothing to do with you, I promise. The issue that, well, I had personally with the Dakimakura vendor was they were selling lewd Dakimakuras out in the open. No censor, no nothing.
Well, to be fair, it's more than just you. We both heard multiple people saying that they were having issues with the level of nudity being showed on these Dakimakuras.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, no, it's one of those things where I would sit there for a good 10, 20 minutes and I can't even count on one hand how many people were commenting on this, which was interesting. Just how many people acknowledged, nodded at it, and it's just like, yeah, that's a little concerning. Why is that out in broad daylight? That was one of the biggest complaints I heard from attendees, especially from that. That being said, however, there was an insane amount of variety of stuff there. Just stuff that I actually haven't seen at other conventions either.
Yeah, no, it was an enjoyable amount of variety, but basically due to all this, it ended up being fairly average in the terms of an artist alley, so we both ended up giving a 0.5.
Yeah, I wanted to give it a 0.7, but the complaints and the non-censored dockies were...
Yeah, they dropped points for both of us. Now, let's get into the attendees.
Ooh.
So, for the most part, it went like this when I arrived on Friday. When I talk to people, everyone's told me, hey, I'm going to Anime Magic on Friday, and Saturday I'm going to C2E2. That was the most very common trend. And then some people would either go to C2E2 on Sunday or they go back to Anime Magic on Sunday. It was very coin flippy on what happened on Sunday. However, the vibe was that C2E2 was the Saturday convention to go to. Now, the people who did go to Anime Magic on Saturday were enjoying themselves. What I was told by people who were there on Friday is that Friday felt way more dead and not as lively as Saturday. Saturday felt more lively and more con-like. And everyone we talked to on Saturday seemed to enjoy the con. They enjoyed that the light was different from Asen and that was being utilized in a different way. we did get reports that people didn't like going back and forth between the Hyatt and the Dowdy Stevenson so much. Overall, people were enjoying the variety and were having a good time.
There's only a few other things. Like, as I stated before, people were complaining about vendors selling etchy / abai art with the Dakimakuras.
The knockoff merch.
The knockoff merch in particular. And then we haven't even touched the issue with the guidebook. That was one of the biggest complaints that we have received.
That's true.
Yeah, it was insane. So the guidebook was 2 pages, 3 pages at best.
So yeah, the paper guidebook was like a pamphlet that you would get like a church that has like a front, 2 middle pages and a back, and then that was it. The actual guidebook with all the information that you wanted
was on a QR code.
Yeah, and it was digital only. So if you didn't have a phone or if your phone died, you were SOL.
Yeah. The other big thing is it was slightly illegible. A lot of stuff was very confusing on that Excel sheet.
So what people did is they redid the Excel sheet and made it a PDF file. And then that's what actually Jackson and I used for the convention. It was way easier and way more useful for us to read that.
Yeah, it was kind of sad that that had to be done, but that's what had to be done. And again, that was one of our biggest complaints, especially from the attendees, which, again, irritated a lot of them into leaving early. With that, we will have to actually give attendees a little bit lower of a score than normal.
But we did both go to 0.4. The attendees did still seem to be enjoying ourselves, seemed to be enjoying themselves overall while they were at the convention.
Oh yeah, which was impressive. I'll give it that.
So now we get to the strongest factor for Anime Magic, which is the niche factor. So as I said earlier, they tried to be the jack of all trades, master of none, and this is just literally the proof in the pudding. You think of it, they literally had it. Like, pottery, had it. Maid cafe, had it.
Sake tasting,
had it. They just had so many unique things that set them apart from so many other conventions. They also have a 5K that we haven't even talked about.
Yeah, because this is literally the point where we can speak on it, because it was so niche that it fell directly into this. There's so many things that this con had that other cons don't. They became the Sega commercial from like back in the day. Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Basically, like honestly, other conventions should strive to get the niche factors that this con has. They should strive to innovate as much as this con does when it comes to unique content.
And what makes me kind of happy about this convention is they're not afraid of like failure when it comes to this. Oh,
they'd rather try and fail than not try at all.
Exactly. And I fucking love that. There's so much good that is just coming out of like these little unique things. Who thinks about hitting up Gabuto Burger and having essentially good-ass burgers on the fly just randomly in a convention? Who has a small little Japanese candy shop just chilling in the artist alley? No, I have not seen any conventions do this.
The car show, that's still really unique. And put it even in between the dealer's hall and the artist alley, still not a lot of cons do that nowadays either.
And bringing back tattoo artists to actually do good work. So, as always, Anime Magic is no contest. They are the reigning champions when it comes to niche factor points. They got perfect score.
Yeah, they got a 0.5. They maxed it out. They can't get any more extra credit. But if we had a higher score, like 1.0 for niche factor, we'd probably give them a 1.0. Like, their niche factor is literally that good.
Yeah, honestly, the niche factor was the driving point of this entire convention. Holy crap.
So now let's get to our totals.
Yeah. So our scores were not as far off as I thought they would be.
No, they're pretty close. For most topics, Jax and I felt the same, but he was a point higher than I was. I was being a little bit more harsh, to be fair.
That seems to be kind of our standard.
I gave the con a 5.8 overall.
Again, a little bit above average, and once again, niche factor, the con, saved the day. For me, I gave it a 6.2.
So when you average that out between the both of us, that's a 6.0. That's still the highest for a con we've had so far this year.
Which, again, Anime Magic, still showing potential.
Yeah. So even though the convention got a 6, and I know it doesn't look amazing once again, there's ways for this convention to improve, because this could easily be a 7 or 8. It's just the shortcomings really hurt it this year. So ways to improve. Organization's obviously the big one for Jax and I. We really harped on that one a lot. Second of all is you need to move tabletop or do something better with tabletop, because us not being able to find a whole category and then we find it later is not good. I know part of that is due to other conventions and maybe organizational issues, but I do get that. The other two big areas where I feel like they lost points were Artist Alley and Dealer's Hall. If they, you know, if it wasn't for those Dakimakuras, that's an easy like 0.2, 0.3 points right there. And if they reorganize the Dealer's Hall and add more variety and fix like the autograph issue in the Dealer's Hall, I feel like that takes them up to like a 0.8 there too. And then the other big area to improve would be the dance. I know it wasn't the DJ's fault. It's not the talent. It was the people around the talent who were setting it up that were the issue. And if that gets solved, which I feel also falls in organization to an extent, that also bumps it up to an extent as well.
Oh, yeah. Now, returning back to the Dockies, I know we're gonna harp specifically on this a little bit, because this actually brings up a kind of a crossroads. This con is slowly becoming known to be a family-friendly convention. And one of the big things that could be done here to make this easier is to make either an After Dark Dealer's Hall or a 18-plus area that's tarped off. Both of these, a little bit easier to do.
And acceptable solutions.
Right, they're very acceptable solutions. Plus, that allows other dealers to actually come through. That being said, on the other side of the Dealer's Hall, one of the big things is flesh out the back end of your Dealer's Hall, flesh out the back end of your Artist Alley. I didn't really talk about this too much, but the other side of the Artist Alley, it was essentially a wide open space, which I wasn't expecting to see the event horizon while at the con, but it wasn't as jarring as the Dealer's Hall. So one of the big things I would say is if you have an Artist Alley and a Dealer's Hall combination, flesh it out a little bit more, allow for just the ability to just have a endpoint, like have dealers, have artists that are on those walls. That way it doesn't feel so jarring to your attendees.
I also want to say support fandoms more. Don't get me wrong. They have like the whole dance thing and they have the drag race, which were both great. And they
holy crap, they
performed the really well. Yeah, the drag race was phenomenal. But when I say support fandoms more, like specifically, I mean this when it comes to photo shoots. You need to show like, hey, we want these fandoms showing up at our con. Because it can be a draw. And not all fandoms might be the best draw, but getting a draw out there to attract in attendees wouldn't hurt either, is what I'm trying to say.
Agreed.
But that would like literally bump up their score to probably like somewhere between a...
a 7 or an 8.
Yeah, it'd be, I'd say a mid-7s to low 8, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that pretty much concludes our review of Anime Magic 2022.
We do hope to go back next year. We do thank Anime Magic for the passes after our email conversation and letting us review their con. We would like to do it again next year. We do look forward to seeing your convention grow more and improve more.
Yeah, exactly. It's becoming our second home. It is always a blast to see what comes next with this convention, especially because every single time we get a chance to actually just witness this con grow, we see just them acknowledging the issue and immediately fixing it the next year. I want to see what they do with all this space. I want to see what comes up with this area. I want them to be one of the big three conventions in the Midwest.
It's very possible for them to do.
Oh, it's very possible.
But that being said, you can reach us at theconventionalpodcast@gmail.com.
Especially if you have an opinion of what we've just discussed in this entire episode.
You can also shoot us a DM on Twitter at conventionalcrew without the E.
Oh, yes. But would you say that we're getting close to time?
We are getting close to the end of our time. Speaking of photos, before we sign off, I will be creating a Flickr so that we can upload our photos to it. And in the bio and description for this review, we will leave the link to the photos. And when we post it on Twitter and Facebook, we will leave the link there too. So if you guys want to find your photos there, you can grab them there.
Well, if that's the case, I do believe that is our time. So, honestly, with closing remarks on this, even with everything that was said and done, I love Anime Magic. I want to go back. I really want to go back.
Yep, I look forward to next year, and I look forward to seeing the improvements, and I hope that it's an amazing time and that it keeps on going upward and upward.
All right. And if you have comments, suggestions, or anything, if you like the show, like the show. If you hate the show, hate the show. Just give us what you got at conventionalpodcast@gmail.com or conventionalcrew without the E on Twitter. And due to something that we've been discussing, as cosplay is a very, very visual art form, we have been discussing and we will be working on posting the podcast onto YouTube with scrolling pictures from the time being until we decide to do live shows.
Yeah, that, and we can also upload them to Instagram too. So if people want to save them on Instagram, that's another way. So, because we do have an Instagram, which is ConCrew, if you'd like to see our stuff there.
Oh yeah. So one way or another, this show is going to grow. And just like every con we've talked about this year entirely, we too have growing pains.
Yep, COVID's a bitch.
COVID has been the biggest bitch. But with that being said, I think that's our time.
That it is.
So, this is Jax.
And this is Cloud.
And we're signing off.
Peace.